I'll be reading from Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil."
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope everybody had a great fall break and ready to go back to school tomorrow. Those of you who don't know, Mr. Likens has retired. He's not going back to school tomorrow. And that chuckle was telling. There's only one thing makes me more nervous than those two talking out loud. It's when they go to whispering to each other. I cannot imagine what they're saying they would not say out loud, you know?
I don't even take it downstairs to just turn
it. I didn't ask. I don't know where to go from here. And our invitation song is... It is great to be here in fellowship. We started our home Bible studies, our group Bible studies last week. Had 49 folks in attendance, which was wonderful. And we're going to do that again the 23rd of this month. Tonight will be our last to leaders. I believe we'll do last Thursday night, so we'll be here. It will be just like our regular routine. And so I think Mr. Mike is going to work with y'all and David. So all of you guys who are willing to help tonight with services, be sure to see them. And we'll be ready for that tonight. But looking on the 23rd, if you were not involved in that, we had a great Bible study. And young people, it was great because we're there together as adults and young people. And I know my kids were there, and I enjoyed their comments and their thoughts in our discussion. So I hope that you'll be a part of that. There's always a meeting here at the in the auditorium, so you're always welcome to come to that and be a part of that discussion as we study through the Scriptures. We'll be in the Beatitudes. Will be our study for the next one. We had a very good study of the Scripture last Sunday night where we talked from Matthew chapter 4 and about Jesus and in his ministry. So hope that you'll be involved in that and bring your families, invite friends, because it's a little more personal than when we're here in our assembly. So hope that you'll be a part of that. Retreat is coming. We're a month away from our retreat. So be prepared for that. And Daryl Lewis will be our speaker for the retreat. Chef Beignet will be cooking for our retreat. I don't know how it gets any better than that. It has been several years since we've had Daryl as a speaker, but I hope that you'll come be a part of that. He always does an outstanding job, and I just hope you'll make it the opportunity to come and be with us for the retreat. It's always a great time, a good time of fellowship and study and fun together. It just helps us grow closer to each other, so I hope that you'll come and be a part of that. I believe it's the second weekend in November. Not sure exactly the dates. Is that maybe the 11th, 12th, and 13th, I believe, of November? We'll get you some more details on all of that. We'll eat Friday nights at Marvin's. If you've not been to Marvin's, that's not quite as good as Chef Beignet, but close. And so we'll eat together at Marvin's and then have retreat time, some time of fellowship and relaxation. So keep those in your mind. Fall party's coming. Change of venue on the fall party. We'll be out at Robin Candy's new home for that. So lots of great things coming up. I hope that you'll be involved. This morning, I want us to talk about Jesus' response to being human. Maybe a little bit of a different way than we often do, because as we study the Sermon on the Mount on our Sunday night program, and as we look at Jesus' teachings in the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus' teachings in general, they are, when we really look at them, pretty difficult for us to do. And sometimes we think more about the Ten Commandments side of that, which are difficult enough. But what is really difficult is praying for one's enemies and turning the other cheek and doing more than we have to do, more than someone can compel us to do more than that, and to love folks. That sometimes is the more difficult. How do we get there? How do we have this attitude that was in Christ when our nature is very different than that? Our nature is very different. And so that's what we read from Genesis about the creation. And what do we see? What does Satan come in and do to Adam and Eve? What is the temptation? We're talking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the desire that they have and the temptation that Satan puts in front of them is, you will be like God. You will be like God. Now, at different levels, for all of us, that's a pretty drawing temptation, isn't it? Now, most of us, probably in our theology, in our discussion, know we cannot be all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, as God is. But as human beings, our very nature strives for what? Greater knowledge, greater power, greater ability, greater control, right? I mean, we're always working to control our environments, to control our situations, to control sicknesses, to have greater knowledge over those things, to do things better. Remember the old $6 million man? We can make him stronger, faster, better. We have the technology. We can make him better than the original model, right? For those of you who did not live through the 70s, that does not mean anything to you. But for those of us who lived through the 70s, he could see better, right? He could run faster. He was stronger. And every time he was faster, stronger, and could see better, it was always great music. You remember the sound that went with being the $6 million man. And now I'm going to say $6 million wouldn't get it done. Today, if they were to make the show, it would be the $6 billion man. But that's a whole other story. But it was about making him stronger, faster, and better. That it was better than God created him to be. Right? Wasn't that the story? I noticed an advertisement for one of the news shows coming on talking about artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence. And the reporter asked this robot, computer, that looks pretty human. Now, when I say that, I don't know how human they could make them, but it was obviously the back of the head was clear and you could see little lights going off, which I think were probably more for effect than practical. And you could tell it was supposed to be human, but they had not done a great job of trying to make it look overly human. But it had the human characteristics. It's sitting there in a chair and says, you know, what is your goal or what is your purpose? I'm not sure the exact question to this robot with artificial intelligence. To be smarter than human beings. That was the answer to that question. And so that's a good tease. I don't know which news show it's going to be on, but you can look for it if that interests you. The purpose of my discussion of that, as human beings, what are we always trying to do? We're always trying to improve on what God has done. Always trying to improve on what God has done. There's something else. We want to be like God, having control, making decisions, designing, creating, being better, stronger, faster. Now, let's read from Philippians chapter 3, because that desire to be better, faster, stronger makes us do what? Want to be the biggest bull in the woods, either individually or as a group, right? We want to do things better. We want to collectively as society and individually be better, be stronger. And in doing that, what is it hard to do? To look out for others, right? To humble ourselves, to pray for our enemies. Isn't that difficult when I'm looking out for me being faster, better, stronger, bigger, more intelligent, all of those things? But here's the example of Jesus, not only his teaching, but in his life. And I want us to look at this maybe in a way differently than we've looked at it before. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. Now, this discussion of Paul to the Philippians is about being united with Christ, being the same as Christ in his resurrection, in his death. If any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. All right? Who do we have to be have the same mindset as? I'll even come out of the pulpit so you can ask me. Have the same mindset as whom? Christ. To have the same mindset as Christ. How do we live like God wants us to live? By having the same attitude, the same mindset as Christ. Not only following his actions, but having the main same mindset that Christ had. Now, what was Christ's mindset like? Having the not only the same mindset, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Let's stop right there just a second. Right. Valuing others greater than ourselves. Have the main mindset that Christ had. And what was the mindset that Christ had? He esteemed us greater than his own personal needs and his own personal comfort. Right? If you're thinking about it, you shake your head this way. Because Christ died on a cross for whom? For us. Did it bring about his redemption? No. Did it bring about his salvation? No. He did that for us because he esteemed us higher than himself. He looked out for us. And so we should have that same mindset. Because he didn't get benefit from dying from us and coming and living as a human being. He did that in honor to God and because he loved us. And the only way we can turn the other cheek and pray for our enemies and love others and look for their well-being and esteem others greater than we do ourselves is to have this same mindset of being concerned about others. Let's follow up because this passage probably already sounds familiar, but it's going to sound real for me in a moment. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. And your relationships with one another have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Now, here's what's going to become more familiar to you maybe than this part of the passage. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage or to be grasped or to be held on to. Right? Did not think equality with God something to be grasped. But what did we just see in the garden with Adam and Eve? What was their desire? To be like God. And Jesus, who was God, did not think it was so important to hold on to his divinity, but he's going to empty himself. See the contrast? Man's desire is always to be like God, to be stronger, to be faster, to be better, to be in greater control. And the contrast is, gee, we ought to have the same mindset that Jesus had, who didn't think being God was something to be grasped, but he humbled himself. We're going to see that he emptied himself. He did the very opposite of what comes natural for us. He did the very opposite thing in service to God. And Paul is saying we should have that same mindset. Not the one that comes naturally to us, but the one that's like Jesus. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So what did Jesus do? He emptied himself of his divinity. He was God and is God, but he emptied that and became a man. Man is always wanting to be more like God. And Jesus, who was God, emptied himself and became a man. With all the pain and frailties and struggles and temptations that come with being human. He was God, and yet he became a man. He did the very opposite of what comes natural to us. He emptied himself and he humbled himself in service to God. And the Apostle Paul says we should have the same mindset that Jesus had. Not that we're God and empty himself, but that instead of continuing on this journey to be more like God, and I want to be careful how I say that, because we should strive every day to be more like God in our grace and our humbleness and our concern for others, right? But we should not strive to be like God in greater control and power. And really, the human desire to be like God is so that we benefit, right? Isn't that our reason? It's so that it's better for me. It's better for me. I get that. You get it too, don't you? You get it too. I mean, how many of you really like the neck of the chicken? Who really likes the neck?
Cousin Eddie.
Thank you. How many of us with any intelligence whatsoever really like the neck? Because, you know, the neck is just bony. It's great in giblet gravy, and that to me is about the only part of it. The reason I say it, so what will we tend to want to do? We want to get somewhere in the line so we get something better than the neck, but although the neck is hardly ever fried anymore, right? Colonel Sanders doesn't fry the neck. Or if they do, they don't. I think we send that to Korea. I'm not being funny. I think that's where that goes. That's where the feet go by pallet loads. That's where they eat chicken feet. And we send them our chicken feet. So, but I'm going to try to move somewhere in the line so that I get a better piece of chicken. That's just our nature. I remember growing up in a much larger church, and my dad always would help hand out drinks and do everything, and he would tell me to help him, and we always went at the end of the line. That was just, we were going to help, and we were going to go at the end of the line when we had fellowship meals. And sometimes by the end of the line, it was pretty picked over. Pretty picked over. So more than once, I said, Dad, we would go, you know, to make sure we'd go get the buckets of chicken, which I did not realize my family had not experienced buckets of chicken until we got a bucket of Colonel Sanders the other day, and Taylor wanted to keep the bucket. He said, I want to keep the bucket. And I thought, I have deprived my children. I have not done a proper job of teaching them Southern living. But we'd get the buckets of chicken and carry them to church. You know, there was Colonel Sanders made a lot. And so when Dad would go and get the buckets of chicken right fast between, because it was just right down on Church Street, so we could go right out and pick up the chicken and be back, and we would get some buckets of chicken and bring them. He would get me a meal. I'd say, Daddy, get me a chicken. And so he would leave that in the car, and then we would serve the drinks, and we got time to go through. I'd go get my meal, and it wouldn't be picked over. Now, that happened. That's a true story. Because I didn't want to get just what was left over. And that's really what's in our nature. So I really wasn't that giving, was I? I waited at the end, not because I was a great young man, because my daddy told me to. You just had to wait to the end. But I knew there was something better waiting. But had it not, I'd have been trying to sneak closer to the front of the line so I could have got a leg. Now, some of you want somebody, but I mean, I just like chicken legs. They're good to eat. It's hard for us to humble ourselves and put others first, isn't it? That's why when I read the teachings of Jesus, there are lots of things I struggle with, but I really struggle with the thought about how do I pray for my enemies? And I'm not good at turning the other cheek. I want to fire back. I just do. I want to fire back. And sometimes without thinking, I do fire back. I mean, it hits a nerve. The other day, something hit me wrong and I fired back. I called my mom. I said, the Francis came out. And she understood. She knew. Boom. There it came. There it came. It's hard, and it's really hard to turn the other cheek. Because not only is it don't fight back, which is most of our tendencies. And some of us will say, well, I'd never fight back. But for many of us, it's not because it's our tendencies. We're just too timid. Right? Let's be honest. It's honest time. But Jesus said, not only don't fight back, but he said, do what? If they smite you on one cheek, turn to the other. None of us like the government telling us what to do. None of us like the government telling us what to do, right? But Jesus said, if the soldier represents the government who legally can compel you to go a mile, do what? Go two. Go two. Now, I'd be just like the folks of the first century. You know, down the interstate, we got mile markers, right? And now we got one every 2/10 of a mile. Have you noticed that? Mile marker 81. Mile marker 81.2. Over on the left. I have never figured out why we had to put one every 2/10 of a mile. But in lots of stretches, it's every 2/10 of a mile. Is that everywhere, Ralph, the driver, you drive all the time? Most places, it's every 2/10 of a mile now. Except most of our population probably doesn't know what a 1/10 of a mile is, but, you know, it's one every 2/10 of a mile. But we used to just have the mile markers. And historians will tell you that there were places where the Jewish people would have mile markers. So if someone, you know, if that soldier compelled you to go a mile, which he could do legally, when you got to the mile, you knew it was a mile, and boom, you dropped whatever they made you carry. It's like, I've done all I'm going to do. Which would be my attitude, naturally. Wouldn't it be yours? All right, you soldier says, you got to carry it. I'd carry it. When I got that mile, I wouldn't just put it down. I'd throw that darn thing down. It might even stomp on it one good time before it was over. But Jesus said, if someone can compel you to go a mile, go with them too. Go with them too. How do we do that? How do we do that? By having the same mindset that Jesus had, who was God and was equal to God, but instead of holding on to that, he emptied himself and became a man. And so being obedient to God and esteeming others was more important to Jesus than looking out for his own welfare. But here's the rest of the story. Then what happened for Jesus? Then God exalted him. Right? Here's what the scripture says. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. If we can empty ourselves of our selfishness and our self-will, and our pride. And be about service to God, esteeming Him, and being obedient to God, and caring about others, then God will exalt us. But that's the tough challenge of not doing what comes naturally. Because what comes naturally is to want to eat the fruit. Right? Whatever that fruit is in our lives. That we look at and Satan says, if you just eat that, you will attain your goals. And so what do you tell yourself? Everybody's doing it. Right? That's how people get to be successful. This is what successful people do. But the way to be exalted, to be glorified, is to empty ourselves. And to be like Christ. And to esteem others better than ourselves. And to put off our selfish ambitions and put on serving God. Humbling ourselves and becoming servants. Whoever would be least among you will be the greatest. Isn't that what Jesus says? The first shall be last and the last first. It's totally opposite of what comes natural to us, but it is God's way. because God sees and God exalts. For us to truly serve God and be His children, we must empty ourselves of our selfishness and our desires and be like Jesus and give ourselves to service to God and esteeming others more important than ourselves. And then just as Jesus was exalted, God will exalt us. God will lift us up. God will recognize us and will reward us for our service. That's what God has called us to be like His Son, who was like the Father, to be like God, to be willing to empty ourselves of our selfishness and our desire for greatness and become even greater than we ever imagined by letting God exalt us, by living out forever and being heirs and children of the King. How do you do it? How do you turn the other cheek? How do you put others ahead of yourself? It's by humbling yourselves and following God. That's the struggle for each of us. But Jesus did that. He came not only as a man, which if He'd come as a king, it still would have been such a demotion from where He had been in the glory of heaven. But He didn't come as a king. He didn't come as a king. He just came as a common, poor person. And He suffered. Not only as He lived, but He suffered greatly in His death for us. But now God has exalted Him to the right hand. God has exalted Him to the right hand. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. If you need to come to the Lord's invitation, do that while we stand and sing.